We're all virtually limitless.
This podcast is to provide a space for people to grow,
to rise,
and build.
This is for the people that are ready to step up and make moves,
no matter where they came from.
Welcome to the podcast.
Virtually limitless. This life we live, we get to choose. We can make excuses or make moves.
It's up to you.
Yeah, your network is your network.
So find your tribe or build it.
There's some change about to happen. I can feel it. Oh, this life we were given it. So take advantage, start living
it. I'm on a mission, new beginnings to start living.
Yeah, virtually limitless.
You are tuning in to another episode of.
This is another episode of Virtually Limitless.
Hey, 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 you guys. I am here with Mike C. Rock here on Virtually Limitless. I am so stoked to have this gentleman in the house because we are bringing just fire and gold from everything that this man has been through and the new adventures that he's on, especially his book. You guys, help me welcome Mike to the show. Thank you so much for being with us here today.
Thank you, Justine. I appreciate you having me. I always start the shows that I go on with gratitude because I'm truly thankful that, you know, for the opportunity to speak to people and humbled that people want to hear my voice. So thank you so much. I appreciate it.
So powerful. And even just in what you said here, Mike, you know, people want to hear your voice, our voice. I think, you know, even with 2020 being the year that it has been, it has really changed the way that people connect with each other. And just the power of people's voices and connection has grown so much, especially since we can't physically, you know, we're doing this across the country, right? We can't physically be together right now. What has your vision been, you know, seeing what 2020 has done, how you're moving forward into 2021, just to use your voice in a more powerful manner?
I mean, I've been on this mission prior to COVID and all that stuff. So I think what I saw with this is that I wanted to push the pedal down harder and go harder, go, you know, put the numbers up, you know, and that's the way I looked at it. And, you know, my mentors tell me that quantity matters and not quality as much. And if you have enough quantity out there, that it takes care of it. So I just look at every day, how can I put more outflow out and just keep helping and giving, and everything seems to work out when that happens.
Oh, that's so amazing. You know, when you have gratitude in the first place, there's always more to give, right? Mm-hmm. You're coming from a state of overflow. And so it's one of those things people, you know, overthink. I've found, you know, as a kind of a coach and a giver myself, it's one of those things that sometimes people are like, oh, I don't have any more to give. And I love what you just said there, because when you come first with gratitude, there's always something that we can give. There's always a kind word. There's always, you know, a message of hope or understanding that we can express. And I think that even with the unrest that is going on in our country right now, being able to have that connection with people is really valuable in an omnipresent manner. How do you create an omnipresence for your people? When I talked to Steve Sims, one of his biggest tips for the community was having the same message across every platform. Drop the same video. It doesn't have to be a different video. You're just going to find different people in different places. Is that your similar strategy, or how do you like to do that, Mike? I would love to see your brain.
Yeah. So I have a great team. Then we do try to be omnipresent. Like, we're everywhere. Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter. We, you know, for the most part, the videos seem to be the same. I think sometimes we switch them up, but there's different audiences on each one. And so what if someone sees it twice or three times or four times even?
Like, I want it's that good. They're probably replaying anyway, right? Yeah, that's the goal.
Yeah. And the thing is, here's the thing. So like, people get so worried about self-promotion and they get like so conscious of that. And really, at the end of the day, like, if you have a mission that you really want to help people and impact people and like affect the world, not just your community, but the world.
Yes.
Then people need to see things multiple times. And so I'm obsessed when I get up in the morning with how can I get known more? Like, you know, I know that I can't do what I want to do on the grand scale if I don't be obsessed with it. And so, I mean, I'm pushing out like three pieces of content like every day.
And,
plus stories, plus probably 10 stories. And I'm talking about posts when I say that. So we just go crazy. We go hard. I do podcast. I did 300 podcast interviews last year, and including my own. So yes. It's all about just, like, when I was told by my mentor, maybe I took it too literal. I don't know. I just said, go, and I go, you know? So,
yes.
Yeah.
He says, jump, you say, how high? How and high then, do you want this, man?
Yeah. And then Clubhouse last night, I'm on a Clubhouse. I started I started my own room on Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. and it's called Launchpad. Become Unstoppable. And last night went on for 4 hours. That's me starting a room and then before they actually shut it down for the night. Now, I know there's some long going ones, but this is like a small room that went on that long. Like if it was around 55, 60 people.
Incredible.
And, I think that's a big part of it as well. So just looking at any opportunity that we can connect with people, you know?
Absolutely. Well, in Clubhouse, the one reason that I love Clubhouse, and I was talking to John Lee Dumas about this too, to pick his brain, I love that Clubhouse creates like that area of the value ladder that's free and a way to connect with people as real humans. And it's one of those things that so many times people get like, wow, down in the dumps, they're like, man, I can't keep up with Mike. There's no way I can keep up with Mike and his team, right? But to hear it from, you know, the person themselves in an atmosphere like that, in a room of 60 people, like you can't get any closer right now. And for people to see those opportunities and not take them, it's heartbreaking because you're out there on the line doing it.
You have to be careful what you say because like, you know, you just said like some people might think that way, right? And I can't keep up with so-and-so or man, they're so far ahead of me. And you start justifying your position by using your words and thoughts, right? So
yes.
I'm very conscious of what I say and the people around me. I don't care if they like it or not. If I hear them talking a certain way, I'll let them know about it because to me, it's more important to make sure they know that the importance of your words and your thoughts than their feelings being hurt. But also you're right. You're not going to be able to keep up with me. That's my goal. I want people to be like, I can't keep up with him or I'm going to go hard and I'm going to beat him. And then we have a race.
Yep.
So that's just a competition, testosterone thing. Something separate.
I don't got the testosterone, but I tell you, I got the competition hardcore. Should have seen me at volleyball this weekend. It's so good. But it's one of those things that, the word is powerful. And so, you know, when we allow ourselves to not honor our word, you know, and that's, I'm a huge part of accountability is a huge part of my coaching, vital to life and business. But it's one of those things that when you don't honor your word as law, it's one of those things that you do fall down that slippery slope of justifications and, and there's a fine line between grace and justifying, you know, giving yourself to be like, hey, I'm still human. I want to be Superman, but I gotta, you know, my body needs a break or whatever the case might be. Right. How do you find that line for you? Cause I feel the passion, I feel the drive, but you know, as far as I can tell, you're still human. I don't know if you bleed red, but how do you create that, that harmony in your life to give yourself grace, but push yourself to grow in those aspects and areas?
Well, by the way, I don't bleed red. I'm a superhero. So, there's nothing wrong with thinking that you're super. Like I said that on purpose because I want people to understand, like, I want to go back to when I'm a kid and imagine what I wanted to be and then be it. And I don't want any limitations. Right. So God put us here on this earth. I don't apologize for my beliefs. I believe in God. I'm a firm believer in a omnipotent God, which means all powerful for those that don't know what that means. And I'll be really naive to think that the all powerful God that put us all here would limit me or you or anybody else.
Ooh, that's so powerful.
To me, I can't sit back every morning and wake up. Like if I don't feel like doing something, talk about being human. If I don't feel like doing something, cause I do go through that. Like the worst thing for me, I live in Maryland and wintertime, cold, dark mornings. I hate it. Like
I'm
honestly
in Minnesota.
I had no room to talk. Right.
That's all good.
I hate the cold, but you know, and I don't feel like doing it, but I do it anyway, because I know that I have an obligation, a moral, ethical obligation duty to get up and make it happen. And I also know that since I put myself out there, people are watching me and they're hoping in their mind, in their subconscious mind, that I don't go where I'm going and say I'm going, because it justifies again, their mind where they are. So I don't let that happen. And so, you know, I think that it's okay to think of yourself as a superhero.
Oh, I love it. Oh, and I love the fact that your perspective is different than maybe some of the other people we've had on the show. I love that. And I think it brings so much value to the table, because we all have our own, you know, with each purpose, God-given purpose that we were given, there's different leaders that we will connect and respond with. So for people that may have been starving to hear that message, I think that you just shared a huge gift with them, Mike. I'm so grateful for that. It's one of those things that, you know, I look at life too, as each of us carry like a puzzle piece, right? And if we don't put our puzzle piece in, it's incomplete. And it's one of those things that someone may need to see me show up so that they have the confidence to show up. Right. And so I just love that that's something, whether it's in stories and your content and your podcast, you're like, you know, have it all, guys, it's all here. There's no excuses. And that's living life without regret. And I actually almost lost my life a couple of times here in 2020 due to different health scares, but it's one of those things that when you're able to approach life with that mindset, you're able to live success every day. Yeah. It's not when or if or with that, it's now. And you probably hear my son squeaking here. Awesome. I had my son just released from the NICU, actually my second born. And
congratulations.
So awesome. Thank you so much. So yes, I'm holding him below screen here. That's Elliot awesome. Is my son's name. It means strength and bravery. So he was our journey this year.
Buddy.
But the biggest thing with, you know,
hold on a second. I don't mean to cut you off, but are you in the hospital now?
I am not. I'm currently home.
Okay. So he's released now.
Yeah. Just got released a couple of weeks ago here, but we were in the hospital for 41 days as a NICU parent. So he was a turkey baby. Some people have seen this story otherwise on the platforms, but I might as well just share. So he was born on Thanksgiving as a result of my theory is due to a ruptured appendix that I was sent home from the ER. They said, hey, it's nothing. It's just pregnancy. You're crazy, pretty much. And I was like, so went back the next day. Yeah, I had an appendicitis and it ruptured 10 minutes before surgery. So that caused some complications, which led to him being born on Thanksgiving. So he was 2 months early, but he's healthy. We are well. But the coolest thing about the story that we had was that I did everything right and things still went wrong.
Yeah,
doctors, dude. I did it all. And how, you know, even in your life and business too, Mike, I'd love your thoughts on this. Like, you're doing it all. You're doing the stories, you're doing the content, you're leading your people, your tribe. Like, sometimes things still don't go well. Yeah. How do you grow through that phase? And you laugh. Now I know this is a good question for you. Tell me, I want to hear this.
Great question. Yeah, great question. Good things, bad things happen to good people, right? So this is why, and I'll share a story with you in a second, but this is why when people say that I'm greedy for wanting more and abundance and people think there's something wrong with me and like, don't you just like have, when do you have enough? Because when you go for just surviving and just getting by, things happen. Mm. Like what you did, you do everything right and still something bad happens. And that's called gravity. Mm-hmm. It's called life suppressors. And so you're going to have that. So you need to be prepared for that by abundance. Abundance leads to survival. So that's why I'm always talking about that. And that's why, let me tell you about the rocket fuel concept. So
tell me,
I grew up in a broken home. I don't remember my parents together. And I felt like at a young age, I was always wanting to help people and I love people. And I didn't understand while I lived with my dad for 3 years from 8 to 11, why I went through some abuse, mental and not physical, but mental, emotional and verbal. And, you know, it's just looking back on it, I didn't know why I was dealing with that. And instead of like making it me like harden me, I did something different. I decided to get out of that environment. And my dad wasn't really happy. He probably felt like I betrayed him by leaving, but he must've been in denial of what was going on. But my dad was my hero. He had a masonry business, laid block, concrete and all that. And he always carried a wad of $100 bills in his pocket. And, he had big forearms and rough hands from like the hard work. Mm-hmm. And, I always looked up to him for that money and the hard work and all that. So when I told him, or when he got the papers served to him from the court that I was leaving and I confirmed it, I stuck to my guns and said, yes, that's the case. He took that wad of $100 bills out, peeled one off, crumpled it up, and threw it at me and said, you're going to need this when you're living on the streets with your mother one day. Now, first of all, I was 11 years old when that happened. And who's to say that I was going to not be able to survive and provide for myself? So like, I took that the wrong way. Not the wrong way, but I took it hard. I'm like, no, dude, that's not going to happen. I got this. So all my life for 30 some years, I've been living off this point of when he basically threw in a towel on me. And I'm like, that's not happening. So that's one thing. Then when I moved, I had to move several different schools, right?
Yes.
And I'm going into schools trying to make friends and you know, be friendly with people. And I got my ass kicked a bunch of times. Because I guess when you're the new guy, I don't know what it is, but I was trying to figure out, like, I felt like I was doing the right thing by being friendly with people, trying to make friends. And then it didn't turn out. Again, you try to do the right things and bad things happen.
Yeah.
So what I found was over the years, my graph of my life and every area of my life has gone up constantly, which is a good graph, gradual uptick, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that it's because I was converting. Anything that was going to stop me or slow me down, or that would normally stop people or slow them down, I was storing it in my tank instead of my trunk where it would weigh me down, and converting it into rocket fuel for my future. And I say rocket fuel because, look, fuel's not like regular fuel is not strong enough. You need some rocket fuel because it's going to get you into outer space away from that gravity that I was just talking about, that that stuff that gets you no matter what. And if you can get to that point where that stuff doesn't affect you anymore or even bother you, or you don't even need that fuel because you're away from gravity's pull, that's what it's all about. So I wrote a book about that. And no, but I relate 100% to what you're saying. And sometimes people ask themselves, I did everything right. Like, what? Why am I going through this? And
exactly. I, for instance, 2020, you know, this is just another state in history that we will look back on and see, you know, the whole world was affected. It wasn't just us, right? But what did people do about it? And I think that's the powerful message that not only, you know, I share, but one reason why I was so excited to talk to you is because you share that as well, where it's like, okay, this is the card that I was, that, you know, the cards that I was dealt. How are you going to play it? Yep. Are you going to just fold and give up and be like, hey, this is what I got. I guess I'll just survive.
Well, the problem is that you can only go backwards so far, right? This wall behind me, if I go back too far, I'm going to hit the wall, right? Yes. But you can go as far as you want forward.
Exactly.
So
exactly. So good, you guys. I hope you listen to that.
I'm going down tacking. I'm not backing down like going down. I'm going forward. So, you know, I have a saying, thrust is a must.
Yes.
Thrust is a must.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Totally with that rocket analogy. That's huge. And, you know, so many times people worry about the hard launch because it is hard. You know, the max amount of fuel is used just even getting things off the ground. But that momentum is created to continue that uphill climb, you know, into, you know, infinity and beyond.
Yep.
And that's what we are striving for. And that's what we want you guys listening here to just be inspired about. You know, it's not that we are any different. We are human, superhuman, and, you know, doing what we do because we're choosing it. This is a daily thing. We don't feel like it. We don't always have the greatest cards in our hands, but we're doing it anyway. And you guys can too. There's no excuse why not. And so I love that message and what you do, Mike, with, you know, everything that you went through with your parents, not having, you know, kind of set backwards. I came from a very loving family. And that's something that I'm so grateful for to this day. I didn't have that initial setback. But it's also really cool because you have that way of resonating with other people that have gone through that. And sharing that message, was that something that, you know, you were ashamed of to start off with? I've met a couple of people that were like, I just didn't have the heart to tell people that I came from a broken home. And I was so ashamed of that. How did you get over, you know, some of those fears, or were they even fears that crossed your mind?
No. So there's three reasons why people don't share their story. Mm-hmm. And I found this and I've experienced it. So first of all, it was a 10X growth conference in Miami a couple of years ago. And Pete Vargas was on stage speaking and he was nervous and sweating. And it was the first time he was in front of a big crowd. And he's, matter of fact, fantastic, a great speaker.
Yes, he is.
I love Pete to death. And he was on there speaking about his relationship with his dad. Mm. And when he started talking, he teaches people to hit the heart and then talk about the content in the head and all that, and then close with the heart. Well, I was sitting there in this audience of 30 some thousand people, and it felt like it was just me and Pete. Like everybody else disappeared and he was talking to me. And I'm like, wait a minute. So you had this relationship with your father. I had that similar situation. And all this great stuff came from it. I'm like, wait a minute, if Pete can do this, I can do this. So I realized, and I have a story to tell. So the reason that I didn't share my story is, one, because I thought it was ordinary. Mm. You know, you don't need an extraordinary story, because when the more ordinary your story is, the more you relate to people, or people relate to you. And then the other reason was that I was embarrassed by it. Because there was a lot of crazy people in my life. Not that I caused them to be crazy, but the fact that it's like, dude, you know, I don't want to talk about this stuff, you know? And it's tough because I caught a bunch of crap, by the way. My stepmom has been like, I don't talk to her and I don't talk to my dad right now because of her and his choices, but it's not by my means, but she's like sent ignorant messages out to people, podcast hosts and all this, like, she's got issues still to this day. I'm 44 years old almost, and she's 60 something, and she's still causing trouble. So it's a tough thing to do, but I don't want to not share that because it can impact people.
Yes.
The last thing was I underestimated the power of the story, of my story, to inspire millions and millions of people. So with that being said, knowing that I'm put here for a purpose on this planet and I don't share my story, I thought it ended up being very selfish of me not to.
Yes.
And so that's why I started sharing it.
Oh my gosh. And I'm so glad you did. And I can totally resonate with some of that too, where it's like, what difference is my story going to make? You know, I'm a small town mama in Minnesota, you know, snowed in half the year, you know, what is it going to matter? And it's so incredible because I've actually got to serve in different events with Pete Barvicus, Dean Graziosi and different things like, so like, yeah, absolutely. And it's one of those things that you may be, you know, you listening, you may be the person that sets that spark in someone's soul, like Pete did for Mike.
Yeah.
How incredible could that be?
Well, and that's the thing. So like when I started sharing the story, one person, five people, 10 people, and I'm like, everyone like was inspired by it. And I'm like, wait a minute. So all I got to do now is figure out how can I get this out to 10 million people? And so then I started being obsessed with that, because if I can affect 1, 2, 3, 4, 10 people, then 10 million is going to be really powerful. And then they could start sharing with each other and it's exponentially.
Absolutely.
Big. So
absolutely. You know, a ripple becomes a wave. And, you know, why wouldn't we want to change people's lives? Why wouldn't you want to become the best version of yourself? That's so incredible. I think the biggest thing that people are scared of right now is just uncertainty of what the future holds, Mike. You know, as we're, you know, I appreciate your time and I could talk to you all day. So it's one of those things I want to make sure to ask a couple of these questions.
Sure.
For people that are uncertain about what, you know, everything was certain with their jobs. Everything was, you know, things have all changed that way. What would you encourage people to do right now to create that strong foundation in who they are, what they're about unapologetically, and how they can move forward to thrive and not just survive here coming up?
Well, first of all, people are uncertain of their future because they're just uncertain of what they want. Once you get clear on what you want and you commit to it and make that decision and take enough, just take massive action towards it, you'll get it. You create your own future. So that's it. I mean, the problem is if you ask people what their ideal life is, 95% of people don't know what the answer to that question is.
True.
So how can you be in any position to go after the life you want or have any idea of what your future holds if you don't know what the heck you want?
Oh, I love that. So because
that's where it starts.
Oh, that's so good. And it's because, you know, something that we share on the show is, you know, if you don't have a destination, how do you know if you'll ever arrive? You can't put it in the GPS. You can't ever get there. I can invite you to my house. You won't know if you'll ever get here. But, you know, so creating that clarity for so many people, that's, you know, I love having you on the show because it's one of those things. You're very simple, straightforward, raw and real. And I feel like a lot of other gurus overcomplicate it to make it seem like they're needed to, you know, make that person successful. If you were to give a person three steps, I think the first step, like you just said right now, is clarity and understanding what the heck you want. What would be the next two steps for our community to tangibly take and activate today, tomorrow, this week?
Yeah. So clarity goes with decide. You decide what you want and get clear on it, right?
Yep.
Then you commit, right? And I'm talking about like burn the ships, commit, like nothing stops you, remove all obstacles, right?
Yep.
And then that last part is that taking a massive action. But some people say, well, what actions do I take? Well, here's very simple. Again, break it down, make it simple. It's either every thought, word, and action you're taking is either going towards that ideal life or away from it. There's no in between. So you just, if you're ever confused, just say, well, is this taking me this way or is it taking me farther away from it? And then make the right decision. And it's just that simple, man. It's that simple. Like if I don't feel like getting up to go into the gym early in the morning and I'm like, I just don't feel like it.
Yep.
And then I'm like, wait a minute. I have a goal in mind to go crush it and get to a certain point and hit my goal. I do it anyway. Just get your ass up. Do it anyway. I just keep saying that.
Oh, so good.
Just got to get through that little push. Once you get through that first part and you're doing it, then it's already, you're good. You're doing it. So
you're already there. The hardest part is kind of that first step. You know, doing the thing that you clarified, you committed to, and now you got to just take that step and actually do the thing.
Yeah. And here's the other problem. People aren't stubborn enough. Like they think stubborn's a bad word and you hear persistent all the time. Persistent is a great word, but everybody hears it so much and it goes in one ear and out the other. It's called the lullaby effect. So I don't use persistent. I use stubborn because stubborn is like, has a bad connotation a lot of times. Really though, if you look up the definition of stubborn, it's not the wrong thing when it's on the right thing. There's two words in the definition of stubborn and they are perversely unyielding. So if you could just think about your ideal life and you're committed and you're taking action and you're perversely unyielding towards it, you're going to create your own future. You don't have to be uncertain.
That's incredible. And that's, it's so funny because the other word that I hear so often negatively, you know, tone is discipline. And I think discipline has a huge part in creating not only who I am personally, but, you know, some people are like, oh, it has to be accountability. Well, you know, accountability may look like, hey, did you do what you said you were going to do? But what is the repercussion if you don't?
I'm going to look up the word definition, discipline, because that's another thing, guys, if you're listening to this, start looking up words. Even if you think you know them, you think you've heard them before, start looking up words. Because, you know, if I were to ask you right now, Justine, control, is control a good thing?
I would say it is.
Okay, good. That's the right answer. Most people say, well, it depends on what it's on. And it's not. If you look up the definition of control, it tells you that control is, hold on, let me get it for you, because I got to show you this. This is something that everybody can do. And you can start doing this.
I love this.
Definitions.
Yep. Just look it up, you guys. He's actively doing it. He's showing us exactly this, you know, and we're doing it right on the podcast. So stick with us.
The power to influence or direct people's behavior or the course of events. Now, does that sound like that could be a bad thing sometimes? I don't think so. And if you look, here's the other way you can do this. If you look up the opposite of control, which that'll tell you whether it's a good thing or not. So if you look up the opposite of control, the words that pop up are, let me tell you this real quick. Powerlessness, helplessness, hopelessness, defenseless, frailty, feebleness, and incapacitation. I mean, those are words that nobody would ever want to be. So that means,
no thanks.
If that's the opposite of control, control is always a good thing. So that's the thing with definition. So let's look up discipline.
Yes.
Okay. The practice of training people to obey rules or a code of behavior using punishment to correct a disobedience. Okay. You know, if you don't do good things or bad things are going to happen. So that is punishment. That is discipline. A branch of knowledge, typically one studied in higher education. You know, I think that the practice of training people to obey rules or a code of behavior using punishment to correct. See, I don't know if it's all about discipline. People talk about discipline a lot. I think that's good to have discipline, but sometimes I think that rules are made to be broken.
I guess the way that I was using it was discipline for yourself. Discipline for yourself to get up out of bed when you don't want to, because the negative side of that is going to be the fact that you don't have the six pack anymore because you didn't go to the gym. You don't feel ready to go. So I don't, maybe it's not the right use, but I'm really glad that you brought that up because I didn't actually look it up to do exactly what you just did. So you taught me a very valuable lesson, Mike.
Here's another thing though, activity or experience that provides mental or physical training. So it can be.
So maybe I was just the definition further down.
I like to look at all of them just to make sure, you know what I mean? Because
good point.
It's fair point. Your words are powerful, man. And believe it or not, your brain knows the definition. And sometimes you don't know it. It's a weird thing. And so you're talking these words sometimes and you're going down the wrong road with them. And so just something to be conscious of. I look up words like crazy now.
Oh, I love that. Well, now I'm totally going to have to start doing that. I'm totally going to have to do that. So Mike, with that too, you know, you're just sharing exactly how, you know, this is an inside scoop, you guys, on what leaders and people are doing across the globe. If you don't know something, we're never too far advanced to learn. We're never too good to discover something more. And I think that that's, you know, huge coming just from another leader like Mike. So thank you so much for doing that. So while we're on the topic of words, Mike, you put a lot of words in one spot. Can you tell us a little bit about your book coming out soon?
Yeah, Rocket Fuel. It's there's another book out there called Rocket Fuel. Gino Wickman wrote a great entrepreneurial book called Rocket Fuel, but I had to name it this because of everything that I've been doing. And so it's a story, a lot of story of my life and things that show how I came up with the concept, some anecdotes. And also over the last 2 years, I've been mentored by some of the greatest people on the planet. And I share how I've implemented some of their concepts and how they relate to Rocket Fuel. So if you read this book, the subtitle is Convert Setbacks, Become Unstoppable. If you look at these concepts and implement them in your life, first you'll feel unstoppable and then you'll be unstoppable. And I just got to get this message out to people because most people don't read the whole book and some people don't even read books. But if you are tired of being stopped, slowed down, dealing with negative people and discouragement, get this book And it'll change your life. MikeCRock.com/book. That's CRock with no K. MikeCRock.com/book. You can get it now. And Grant Cardone wrote the foreword for the book and shared what Rocket Fuel concept means to him and what it's meant to his life and business.
Oh my gosh, you guys. And we'll make sure to have that in the show notes too. It's just for easy access. So there's no excuse for you not to go and at least check it out, but definitely get your hands on that book to launch yourself into the future that you've desired, you've dreamed of. And now you have clarity, you've committed, you're taking action steps towards it. How much better would it be to have someone mentoring you along the way? When we got Mike, you might as well just do it. I'm thinking that's the way to go. But Mike, I would love for you to share just one last thing with our audience before you go. If there was one just encouraging line that or quote that you would share for everyone that is going to be getting their hands on your book, what would you share with them today?
Well, you know, I think thrust is a must, man. I mean, that's my favorite thing to say because you got to keep moving forward and you got to move forward fast. Speed matters. And so I'll leave you with thrust is a must.
Thrust is a must. All right, you guys, straight from the horse's mouth. Let's rock and roll with this. Mike, thank you so much for being on the Virtually Limitless podcast.
Thanks,
it was fantastic. You guys, be sure to check in for the next episode coming soon.
If you learned anything from this show, make sure you leave a review and check out the description to join our community and grab some free resources. And make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode of Virtually Limitless.